You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Man, go White, my brother. I'm so thankful for you. Any Golden State Warriors fans in the place? No? Oh, okay, I'm alone. Wow, that's not a good feeling. Good morning. It's good to be with you all. I want to first start off and apologize to you. I feel like I just need to get this off my chest. I graduated from Indiana Wesleyan University. But, I am seeing the light, and I am currently taking my master's program through the Bethel University. So, thank you. I am a repentant follower now. So it's really, really, really good to be with you all. Can we do something this morning before I really dive into what I feel like the Lord's laid in my heart? I think it's really, really important that we remind ourselves and remind one another of really simple truths about God and about who we are. And so what I'm going to do is actually, I'm just going to ask you, and I know some of you hate this, but just do this, okay? It's so good for you. It's so good for one another. I want you to partner up with somebody sitting next to you. Just look at them. And we're going to remind each other this morning of three simple truths. You're going to tell the person sitting next to you, God sees you. What's so funny about that? Second truth that you're going to tell each other, God knows you. And then the last simple truth that you're going to remind one another of this morning is that God loves you. He does. I'm glad you guys love that. Okay, that's awesome. So leading into today, I'm not going to lie. I've had a lot of like really anxious, nervous energy. And as the intro video so eloquently put, I'm the teaching pastor at Napanee Mission Church. I teach frequently at our church. And I'll be honest, it's been a long time since I felt the feelings that I had leading into what's about to happen in this space. I really did feel like there was some sort of opposition from the enemy coming towards me in my mind and my heart leading up to this moment, which as a communicator is really, in one way, really frustrating because you want things to just come together in your mind smoothly. You want things just to orchestrate so perfectly. And that just wasn't happening, and I just felt like there's so many obstacles just kept hitting me, and doubts and fears and anxieties. And so one side, it's really frustrating, but on the other side, it's really encouraging because I do believe that the enemy pushes strongly against those moments where he's about to get just popped right in the face. And so I do believe that the word that the Lord's given for me this morning to share with you all is one that he wants you to hear and one the enemy desperately doesn't want you to hear. And so can we just pause for a moment and pray? Maybe it's just even for myself in this moment. And just ask that the Lord would move and work in our midst. Welcome back to this semester. My prayer and hope for you all here in the year 2022 is that the Lord would meet you in very real, very intimate ways. And I pray that your experience here at Bethel can be very much a part of that. So let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, you are so good. Jesus, you are so good. And we do, we magnify you this morning, Lord. Jesus, I pray right now by your mighty power, by your mighty hand, would you protect each and every one of us in this moment from the lies of the enemy? Would you protect us from the distractions that are trying to lead us astray in this moment? I pray, Jesus, by your power and your will, that we would only hear your voice this morning. Your voice and your voice alone. The enemy is a liar, and we renounce him in the name of Jesus this morning. We cancel all the assignments of all the darkness and demonic powers in the world and at work right now in this room. And in the name of Jesus, we claim this space as holy ground. Just as Moses did in the moment with the burning bush, that was holy space, holy ground. And I claim that in the name of Jesus over this building, over this chapel space right now. Heavenly Father, you are good and you are faithful to see that through. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So you don't have to turn there, but if you do have your Bibles, you're welcome to join me in John chapter 10. Jesus has some pretty profound words for us here in this moment, and he speaks to himself. For those of us that have grown up in the church, we probably heard Jesus be referred to as the Good Shepherd, or God referred to as the Good Shepherd. And so this is one of those moments where Jesus is speaking to that name that he's giving himself. So John chapter 10, Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because," catch this, "his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." And my question for us this morning is, why are you listening to the stranger's voice in your life? Why are you listening to the stranger's voice? Not too long ago, I got together with this guy. I just briefly met him after one of our services on a Sunday morning. He came up and introduced himself. He's about your age, in his early 20s. And he said, "Hey, let's get coffee sometime. I'd love to get to know you better." I said, "Sure, let's set it up." We set up a date, and he texted me that day, and he said, "Actually, you know what? I'm going to be late. Can we push everything back like 45 minutes? And I said, "I'm really sorry, man. I'm on like a tight schedule. I have to leave by this point. If you were to come at that time, we'd only have 30 minutes to meet." And he says, "Let's do it." I'm like, 30 minutes is not a great introductory point. I was like, "Are you sure you don't want to reschedule?" He's like, "No, I'm already on my way. Let's meet." And I said, "All right, let's do this." So we meet at Main Street Coffee House in Napanee. It's a beautiful spot to meet with people. We sit down at the table, just the very basics, getting to know each other. After 20 minutes of just, for the very first time, getting to know this person, he looks at me and he goes, and he asked the weirdest question. It was very uncomfortable, if I'm being honest. He looks at me and he goes, "What do you think of me?" I said, "Dude, I've known you for 20 minutes. What do you mean?" He's like, "No, seriously, what do you think of me? Like, what's your opinion of me?" And it was the weirdest interaction I've had in a very long time. I was really struggling. I was like, "Honestly, dude, like, I literally just met you. I don't think it's fair for me to have an opinion about who you are." And it really bothered me, because in my brain, and as I was processing this more, I realized that what he was asking me was, "Hey, like, what do you really think about me? What do you say about me? How do you value me?" And me, a complete stranger to this guy at this point, he gave me in that moment complete control and complete authority to tell him who he is. And that's messed up. And yet each one of us do this all the time, where we lean into the stranger's voice to tell us who we are, what our value and what our worth is. And it's messed up. And as John chapter 10 and Jesus is saying is, my sheep, they follow me because they know my voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And I just wonder how many of us can honestly say, "Yeah, that's true of my life. I know the Good Shepherd's voice, and I follow that voice. I recognize that voice. I like the cadence of that voice. I follow that voice. And I don't even listen to any other stranger's voice." Does that sound like you in your world, in the way that you hear voices? It was the fall of 2018. I just had a total breakdown moment in my life, if I can just be really vulnerable and honest with you all this morning. I'd been in doing ministry for about 6 years at that point. I had built my entire identity on ministry and doing ministry. It was my life, like everything was about that and being a pastor. And I built everything of who I am and my value in that role that I play at the church. And it reached this point in the fall of 2018 where things started to not go super smooth at the church. And a place where I had felt forever like really affirmed and like loved, all of a sudden there were some voices that started to speak out and saying, "You're not good at your job." And these voices started to get really intense in this season. And it started this total just collapse of my identity, of my person. I started asking all these questions. I, for the very first time, like really wrestled with anxiety and depression, and my mental health just like totally went down the toilet during the season. And there were so many nights We're in this season from that fall of 2018 to the summer of 2019, where there were moments where I would just be laying in my bed at night trying to fall asleep and just spinning out, going in circles with my wife and just talking about how bad things are and I'm no good and I'm just not good enough at my job. I'm not good enough of a Christian. I'm not good enough of a husband. I'm not good enough. All these lies and all these other voices just were just flooding my brain. And there were so many of these nights I feel really bad for my wife. She just had to like sit there and listen to me spinning out in circles. I was inconsolable at these moments in time. And her and some other friends in the season kept telling me like, Tim, you need some serious help. You need to get some help and you should consider counseling and all this. And I said, no, like I'll figure this out. God's good. All I need is God. We'll figure this out. And things just kept getting worse and worse. And it got to the point where there was one night where I was spinning out with my wife and I just finally uttered out something that I'd been feeling for a long time. And I just leaned over to my wife and I told her, I was like, I just want to die. I just want to die. And the moment those words came out of my mouth, I realized like, yikes, I'm in a pretty dark place right now. I've listened to the stranger's voice for far too long and I'm in a dark place. And it was this wake up moment where I realized like, I need help. I seriously need help. And so this led me to actually getting into some counseling. And I started to realize that there's three predominant lies that I've been believing for a really, really long time. Like it goes way back into like childhood stuff. And it's these three lies that I'm not good enough. I wonder if you identify with any of these today. I'm not good enough. People only love me if I perform for them or if I can earn their love. And then the third is that I just don't belong. I just don't belong. I wonder if those resonate with any of you. Or maybe you have your own lies that you've bought into. But those are the three big ones. And so, to be honest, when I got into counseling, I didn't want to. I felt really weird about it. I felt like I was admitting that I was like really messed up. And that was uncomfortable for me. And I remember I walked into my first counseling appointment. And I walked into her room. There's like a couch set up. And I just asked her point blank. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to lay down on this couch and like just talk about my feelings? Like, this is so strange for me. I don't know what to do. And she's like, I mean, if you want to, you can lay down, but you can sit too. That's okay. And I was like, okay, good. I'm gonna sit. I don't know you. This is weird if I just lay down in front of you. So we have this moment, and in our very first moment, she told me, Tim, I just want to give you a heads up. It's about to get worse before it gets better. I'm like, really? That's your starting opening line? It's about to get so much more worse before it gets better. And I was like, great, this is awesome. I'm glad I did this. Also, hashtag normalize counseling. You know, if you need help, if you need to talk through things, you're not messed up, you're not broken, it's okay. It's really good, actually, to have someone to talk to. I wish I would have done it a long time ago. But you know what I realized as I was going through my counseling with my therapist, and she started to help me realize that there was moments and there was events in my life from a very early age that started these tracks of thinking in my brain that gave authority to those voices, the stranger's voice in my life. You know what's wild and silly and ridiculous as I look back to it? I'm sitting there on my counselor's couch, you know, just sobbing at different points, talking through my life. And the one thing that started to pop up, she's like, Tim, if you can trace back in your life, what was that first event where you really remember those lies setting in? And it was the weirdest thing. I went back to like my fourth or fifth grade year of life. And all of a sudden I had this image. I was in the backyard of one of my friend's houses and there's a group of the guys that are there. I already felt kind of like an outsider with this group. I remember growing up. And we were about to play a game of wiffle ball. And so we started picking teams and you know, divvying out who was with who. And I was the last person picked for wiffle ball. That's when you say, aw, don't pity me, okay. So I was the last one picked, and you should have seen me in fourth and fifth grade. Like, I was scrawny, I had huge, like, Harry Potter glasses, like, I had a bowl cut, I wore turtlenecks, like, it was just like, I'm not the first pick kind of guy. So it was understandable, you know, that I was the last one picked. And And I remember, not only was I last pick, that really wasn't the issue. The issue was, not only was I last pick, but I realized that neither team actually wanted me on their team. Not only am I the last one, it's both, I got the sense and I could tell so obviously from everybody there that nobody wanted me on their team. And immediately, I remember in that moment of counseling, all these thoughts starting to pop up like, you're not good enough, you don't belong, and you have to earn people's love. And those things just started to sit in at such an early age. And it's amazing, as I started to track through all those different things and giving cadence to that and giving authority to that voice. Now, the passage that we read from John chapter 10 was really fascinating to me, because before Jesus goes on the spiel about how he's the shepherd and his sheep listen to his voice, there's this moment in interaction that happens in John chapter 9, right before this. Jesus heals a man that was born blind. Jesus heals this man. It's the one when he spits in the mud and puts it on the dude's eyes, like, ew. But it's this really cool moment that Jesus does this. He heals the man of his blindness. And this guy is obviously pumped about it. And he's telling everybody about it. He's talking to the Pharisees about how amazing this guy is. The Pharisees are like, no, Jesus is not a good man. And they're going back and forth. And there's this moment in verse 34 of chapter 9 where after the blind man is just testifying to the goodness and the greatness of Jesus. And in verse 34, to this they replied. And this is like the religious people of the day. They replied to this man who was blind, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. There's this moment of total rejection. There's this moment of total, like, casting out, like, you're not one of us. You don't belong. You're not good enough. It's this horrible, ugly moment that takes place where they said, "You are steeped in sin. You are a sinner. You're ugly. You're broken. We're done with you." There's this strong voice that comes from the crowd in this moment that are speaking these things over this man's life. And then Jesus comes in and says, "No, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber." And later in John chapter 10, it says that the enemy has come to steal and kill and destroy. That's his job. That's his mission. That's the voice of the enemy that's so prevalent in our own lives, in our own minds. And we have to recognize when it's the stranger's voice, and we have to recognize when we need to go and follow the good shepherd's voice instead. This is our mission. One of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen. If you have not read Henry Nouwen, you need to read Henry Nouwen. In his book, In the Life of the Beloved, he says this very powerful thing. He says, "Self-rejection is the greatest enemy to the spiritual life, because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved." Now, let me say that one more time. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy to the spiritual life, because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. What does the shepherd's voice, the good shepherd's voice, say to us? How can we identify his voice? Can I tell you, it's the voice that says, "I see you, I know you, and I love you. You are my beloved." And I love this, because the same thing that God is speaking, the Good Shepherd speaking over each and every one of us consistently, each and every moment of each and every day, is the same thing that he spoke over his son Jesus when he came out of the water from his baptism moment. He said, "This is the son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." And notice that this moment of baptism happened before Jesus had actually ever done anything. It was just who he was. That's just who God thought of him to be. Before he did anything, it was, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And the good shepherd is speaking the same thing over you and I. He calls out to us and says, "You are my beloved." And what it took me to realize through therapy and counseling and all this stuff is that when we think of our salvation and the saving work that Jesus Christ offers each and every one of us, and his gracious hand extends to us, what he's doing and an aspect and a part of that salvation is this thing of healing. And Jesus' healing is both curative and restorative. There's this curative aspect that he rids us of that sin in our lives. He makes us new, a new creation. Now we're saved and we're claim his righteousness over our lives. This is probably the moment most of us think of, this justification moment where we're made new, we're found in him. But it's not just that kind of healing that takes place. He says, I'm not just going to work through the problem itself, but I'm also going to help heal and restore the things that have come from that problem, the results of that problem. And this is an ongoing process for each and every one of us, that we allow the healing of power of Jesus to come into every moment, every aspect of our lives, and let him speak into those moments. What my therapist had me do, and I want to offer this to you because it's such a powerful practice, is when you are facing lies, when you're hearing loudly the stranger's voice saying, you're not enough, you're not good enough, you don't belong, you have to earn love, what we need to do in those moments is to stop and say, no, Jesus, I'm welcoming you into this conversation. What do you say? How do you feel about me right now in this moment? In those moments where you feel the worst about yourself, it is the most important time to allow Jesus to speak into that moment. And it was funny, my therapist took me all the way back to that wiffle ball game, and she said, Tim, I want you to go back there in like your mind's eye, your imagination, and I want you to process through this. Let Jesus into that moment. Where was he in that moment? And what does he want to say to you in that moment right now? Healing. Healing. Because in that moment, when I truly allowed Jesus into it, I just heard his voice louder than all the others saying, you're my beloved. You're my kid, and I love you. I love you. You are chosen. You are unique in the most brilliant, beautiful way. You are accepted. You are adopted in. You are grafted in. You are mine. You belong. And all these things start to flood in. And this has become one of the most practical and life-transforming and healing things that I've been able to put into my own world and my own life, and it's something that I try to do consistently. Just this last October, I was in Kenya traveling and speaking, and I had a bunch of different engagements there, and one in particular, an evening before I was supposed to speak at this large event with all these churches that gathered in, one of the pastors came up to me and said, hey, Tim, before you actually do that message that you're supposed to do and you've been planning on doing, you also have to do another message before that one, and it needs to be different than the one that you were going to do. I'm thinking, the night before, dude? Come on, you're killing me. And so I was like freaking out, like trying to, that evening, late at night, like put this all together and get ready to go. And I gave that message that I scrambled together, and I felt so terrible about it. I felt so terrible about it. The bishop of the African Gospel Church was there, and all these professors of this Bible college were there, and it was just this big old thing. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I blew it. I stink. I'm no good. That was horrible. What an embarrassment. And I thought in that moment, then I caught it, and I said, no, that's the stranger's voice. And I said, Jesus, what do you think about that? You were here, God with us, Emmanuel, you were there in that moment. Jesus, what do you say? He says, you are my beloved. And it was the most freeing experience ever. I'm just like, cool, God loves me. This is awesome. And I could go on with my day. And it's just the most powerful practice to listen to the voice of the Father over the voice of the stranger. And it takes time, and it's a process, and it's a working out of our salvation. It's a working out of healing moments. And can I challenge you to identify those lies in your own life? And allow Jesus, allow the Good Shepherd to speak into that and follow his voice. So in John chapter 9, when the Pharisees and the religious people spoke ill of that man, they spoke from a false authority over that man, blind man's life who had been healed. They spoke with a false authority. They told him, you are this, which was a lie from the pit of hell. And then they cast him out. But notice again in John chapter 10, I love this about Jesus. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But before that, it says he calls his own sheep by name. He is welcomed in through the gate. He has authority to come into our lives. He knows us by name, and he leads us out. He calls us out. He doesn't cast us out. He doesn't reject us. He calls us out to follow him in his voice only. I have a 10-month-old daughter. She is the sweetest little thing ever. I never couldn't care less about anybody else's babies. I'm not a baby person. Before I had my own, I'm just like, okay, cool, what do? Just hold this? All right, thanks. You know, like, what am I supposed to do at this moment? But having my own, it is a very different experience. And there's something about that girl. I so desperately want her to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd more than any other voice. Like, this is something that the Lord just laid so heavy on my heart, and I'm so burdened about it, and it kills me, and it makes me just break inside knowing that there are going to be other strange voices that tell her lies and tell her things that are not true about who she is, and it kills me, and it makes me angry, and I'm like, I need to purchase a gun or something. I don't know. And so from a very early age, though, being as young as she is, a lot of evenings I get to feed her bottle before she goes to bed at night. And so I'll sit in her chair in her nursery room, and I'm holding her and I'm feeding her bottle. And this has been something that the Lord just, I don't know, led me to do from the very beginning of her life. While we're sitting there and I'm feeding her bottle, I just lean in really close to her ear. And I say, Charlotte, you are beautiful. You are so loved. You are chosen. You are kind. You are brave. You are strong. You are meek. You are a peacemaker. And just go on and on and on, telling her who she is. And my hope and my prayer is that we can do this enough times, and she can hear that enough times in her ear, that when that stranger's voice comes, she can maybe have this moment to say, no. No, I know my Father's voice. I know the Good Shepherd's voice. I'm not going to believe the stranger's voice. And I'm going to allow only the Good Shepherd to tell me who I am. In the same way, the Good Shepherd is leaning into your ear and my ear each and every moment of each and every day, saying, you are loved. You are beautiful. You are chosen. You are beloved. We just have to tune our ears and allow ourselves to let Jesus be a part of the conversation. Pay attention to the voices. Pay attention to the voices. And challenge the voices that don't sound like you are one of the beloved. In this semester, as you go through all the stressors, are you in syllabus shock right now a little bit? Yeah, I love that period of life. That's exciting. And the weird still effects of COVID stuff, and there's been a lot. This has been a heavy, heavy, heavy time for many people. It's not a coincidence that mental health is in a serious decline all throughout our country and in so many people's lives. Man, listen to the Father's voice. Lean into it. Lean into it. Let that be the loudest voice in this season of life. And let him heal you and continue to work out your salvation. I pray a blessing over you before we go. Jesus, thank you so much for this time that we've had this morning. Holy Spirit, speak so clearly. Rid us of the voice of the enemy. Rid us of the voice of the world. Rid us of the voice of others. Rid us of our own voice, Lord, that tells us falsehoods, that tells us lies. Help us to know and understand and feel truth. Teach us, Good Shepherd, how to be one of your sheep. Teach us your voice. Help us to become accustomed to it and know it above every other voice. Jesus, I pray your power and your favor and your blessing over each and every one in this moment. Guard and protect. Fight, lead. Jesus, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.